I think that all these subgenres have created their own kind of scenes within the culture, and there's so much love for the certain sounds that when you go to these parties, the energy is like a 10. Yeah. And also, I'm a huge, you know, I got into this in the early 90s, and I say that because I'm hearing a lot of these sounds and samples and stuff from back in the day.
Throwback
stuff. And that, nothing makes me smile more than that. Yeah. So, you know, speaking from my perspective, I'm really liking what's happening in music right now.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Musicians Tell Me Secrets podcast. My name is Ryan Stabile, former music journalist, entrepreneur, writer, and the best podcaster in the known universe. That's right, there are alien podcasts on other planets, and I'm better than all of them. So I'm starting this podcast for a few reasons, primarily because I know that for the hardcore music fans out there, going to see concerts, you know, live music is pretty much what they live for. So since events by and large have been pretty much banned from, well, all over the world, I thought it'd be fun to relive some of our favorite events and listen to some interesting conversations with some of my favorite artists. So I recently found these recordings of all these interviews I've done over the years, and I played some of them back. And it's really interesting to see, to hear what some of these artists have to say, you know, a few years back compared to what they're actually doing today. Also, I have a lot of fun stories about each artist and event that I want to share, which many have never been told. And I hope I don't get into trouble for telling some of these. But fuck it, the world's ending anyway, right? So the first handful of episodes are going to be taken from old recordings of interviews I've done with musicians. Then hopefully once things open back up for us, I will be able to do some new interviews. So whether you're a music fan or a musician yourself, and maybe you want to learn from some all-star musicians, I hope you enjoy this podcast. This episode's interview is with none other than Pascal Rotella. And I hope I'm saying that right. I don't know if it's, in this interview, I first call him Pascal. You know that, you know when you read a word a lot, but you know you never actually said it aloud. And the first time you say it aloud in front of a group of people, you say it incorrectly and they all laugh at you. Yeah, I think that kind of happened here. Anyway, well, not technically a musician himself, we're going to go with Pascal for this one. He has definitely had some enormous impact on the music industry and specifically live events. He is the founder of Insomniac, as I'm sure many of you listening know. Insomniac is arguably the world's biggest, best producer of EDM events and festivals. So Pascal travels the world with his beautiful wife, Holly Madison, who you may know from Playboy and I believe the show on E! Girls Next Door. And they put on these larger-than-life events. You know what? Actually, I think Holly and Pascal got divorced last year. So, you know what that means, guys. She's back on the market. I wonder if she went running back to Hugh. If anyone knows, drop me a comment. DM me. So if you've never been to an Insomniac event and you like electronic dance music, now I know it's not for everybody. But treat yourself once they start opening up events again and go. In addition to performances from some of the most talented EDM artists around the world, they have, you know, these interactive art installations, performance artists who dress in these elaborate costumes, and the best quality sound systems money can buy, which they often make into these functional art pieces. So if you're interested, go. If not, I don't give a fuck. They're not paying me to say this. This podcast has no corporate sponsors or hidden agenda. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Man, why would his parents name him Pascal? Like, what's the story behind that? And you know for a fact he got picked on in high school. You know, I bet that Pascal never got invited to parties in high school. And he's like,
one day I'm going to throw the biggest parties all over the world and none of you will be invited.
Yeah, whatever, Pascal. Shut up. Give me your lunch money.
See, kids, it does get better.
Anyway, this interview was done in 2016 at the first EDM Biz Expo, which was an interesting thing for Insomniac to do. I don't know if it turned out how they thought it would. I don't even think that they still do the EDM Biz Expo, and that's not just because of the pandemic. So one interesting thing from this interview, whenever you see photos of Pascal on the internet, he's always wearing this nice suit, but at the event, he was actually dressed like a typical rave bro. So when I'm walking around the EDM Biz Expo, I think to myself, who is this loser with a parade of hot chicks following him around? And then, later when we sat down for the interview, I was like, oh, that checks out. Also, you didn't see this on camera, by the way. You can see the full video of this interview and others at ryanstabile.com. That's ryanstabile.com. And anyway, you don't see this on camera, but just before and immediately after the interview took place, his publicist kept handing him these little green capsules full of this like green herbal stuff. And I don't know what it was. I didn't ask what it was because I was already on drugs at the time this interview took place. But, the more I think about it, man, I gotta get on whatever Pascal's taking. That's like next level shit. But man, he must have taken between like 12 to 15 of these things in total, these mystery capsules. And the more I think about it, actually, it might have been kratom because they were the same color as kratom is. And I know that you need to take a shit ton of that stuff in order for it to work. Don't ask me how I know that, but I don't know, man. Maybe Pascal is addicted to kratom. Anyway, this conversation that we have is especially interesting because in it, Pascal talks about how the music industry has changed as a whole over the last few years, and then he gives us his prediction for how an Insomniac will evolve to meet the needs of the changing music industry in the future. And he also gives some advice to anyone who aspires to build, this massive event production company like he did. Real humble guy. Anyway, when you listen to this, it's important to remember that it's from 2016. Now, it's still a great conversation with a brilliant man and Pascal. No, I'm kidding. No, Pascal's great. I really enjoy this. And without further ado, here is Pascal Rotella.
This is Ryan Stabile here at the Axis TV, and I'm here with Pasquale.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How's your EDM Biz Expo 2016 been?
Really good. Yeah, I've had a lot of fun. It was interesting to hear some of the panels, and I'm excited for the weekend.
Yeah, awesome. So what do you really look forward to here at the Electric Daisy Carnival? After spending so much time putting all of it together after all these years, what is your favorite part?
I can't wait to see all the people. We've been working out there for over a month and it's empty and the magic is coming together. The production is coming together and it doesn't really come alive till everyone walks through the gate. So that's the moment I'm looking most forward to.
That's true. So, Pasquale, have you seen just the vibe in the music community and music festivals change over the last 10 to 20 years that you've been in the industry?
Yeah, it's changed a lot. It's always changing. Dance music is about, what is next. And what you see today will be very different than what you see next year or, in 5 years, right? But the core values stay the same. To dance, to be your best self, to look out for one another, and it's just it's a beautiful thing. So that stays the same, but everything else changes.
So, how have you seen the demeanor of the attendees change over the last, 10 to 20 years?
There's a little bit different element, from back in the day before people were dancing in every which direction, and now. Because dance music has crossed over and has been accepted to us, a lot of people commercially, you have a little bit you know, people try to treat it like a concert. That's why we came up with the term headliner, so that people understood that you're just as important as the person that's on stage. You know, and so that's a little bit of a change. But, you know, I feel like we're getting back to our roots a little bit. People are dancing more, and, you know, they're not gawking at the DJ as much, you know, and then it's a little variety of everything. People are exploring and getting into the music versus infatuating over the human being that's up there making some magic happen.
Absolutely. So when did you decide to use the term headliner to describe, you know, any music festival patron and Sopniac events?
When I saw that was being lost, that expression of individuality was being lost, and that people were just kind of thinking that this was a concert, you know. I didn't get into this because I wanted to throw concerts. I got into this because I was part of a community. I was a fan. I was someone on the dance floor. And I was very, you know, the music and rocking out to it and it being the best music on the planet, that's important to have there. But I didn't want that to take away from the synergy between the people that were on that dance floor and, you know, I mean, it's almost like they're dancing for each other. They're you know, the DJ's playing for the crowd and putting on a performance. But the people are always also putting a performance on for the DJ, you know. He doesn't want to be up there, you know, in the mix, killing it, and look out, and all he sees is
people staring at him.
People's eyeballs staring at him, you know, standing still. I much rather, as a DJ, look out to the crowd and just see movement. Yeah. The back of people's heads, the side of people's heads, people's arms in the air, people just going bananas. That's DJing, you know, and they're performing for the DJ. They're performing for each other. You know, not that they're meaning to do that, but as someone that has been in this culture and loves these events and goes out and, you know, still as a fan, you know, yeah. I love feeling that energy.
Yeah.
And there's nothing better than all those elements coming together. The best music in the world, the best energy in the world, and people just bugging out like that, you know? It's a different... I'm not knocking concerts. Those are awesome too, but it's very different. We're not ripping, you know, we're not walking in, getting our tickets ripped and finding our seat and just waiting. Yeah. You know, we're part of this.
So we're never going to have seats at a festival, Insomniac show?
No seats at any Insomniac festivals.
You know, I was at Surrender Nightclub last night watching Skrillex and Marshmello perform, and I love those artists so much. I've seen them perform, you know, a dozen times, and they always kill it. But there's something different about, you know, the energy at a Las Vegas nightclub that's absolutely the complete antithesis of something you would find at Electronic Daisy Carnival. And what's weird is, you know, most of the people there were also in town for EDC. So my question is, what do you think the difference is between a concert or a nightclub compared to a music festival or Insomniac show?
Well, the difference between an Insomniac show and a concert is that we like to feature art in all its forms. Music, installations, theatrics, production, visuals, you know, 360 environments. We also have an amazing fan base that brings some of that as well. You know, the totems that are out there. I mean, I'm dying laughing sometimes when I see some of these totems. Like, there's comedy attached to it, you know, and there's art and there's beauty. And, you know, some people are under, you know, think that somehow focusing on these other art forms and all these other great things that music somehow falls to the side. And that's crazy.
Yeah.
music is the soundtrack to every movement that's happening and everything that's going on, and we want it to be the best, you know, in the world. So that's, you know, in a concert, you know, you're waiting, you're more of a spectator, you know, waiting to get entertained.
It's a band, and that's okay. You play music at you.
Yeah, you know, they're giving the audience something.
Yeah.
But the audience will applaud and give something back, but not at the level that like a dance music festival like EDC, you know. We you know, there's love going coming from all different directions, you know.
So that's what I'm trying to find out is it's something very unique about Insomniac shows and music festivals in general around the world, where you'll have, you know, headliners coming from all over the world who don't even understand the lyrics and the music. And they all have the same shared passion, the same positivity, and the same love for the music and one another. And there's this unique trait of people who attend these music festivals that they're so creative, like with the totems, that you don't find in traditional concerts. You'll never find at a punk show or a metal show or a rock show. And that's what I'm really trying to figure out right now. What do you think about that?
I mean, all those different kind of events that you mentioned are all awesome in their own way, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they all have something unique to offer. Dance music has something unique to offer. You know, I don't want to overanalyze it. It's unique, and I want to protect that. I don't want the roots of the culture to be lost. So, you know, it's one of the reasons why I thought of calling the fans the headliners. I didn't want them to just come in and be a concert goer. I go to concerts. I enjoy those. But, you know, you should have all these options. And you know, I love rave culture. I grew up in it, and I've committed my life to it. And it's important to keep it alive.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned earlier about the constantly changing and evolving trends within the EDM community and the industry alone. How do you predict, as an event promoter, as an organizer, how do you predict these changes and apply them to your festivals?
Really easily, because Insomniac is built by people from the dance floor. Yeah. You know, we get bored if we're redundant. You know, if we're delivering the same thing over and over again, because we're coming of a place, we're coming from a place of being a fan first before being, you know, a businessman. It's organic to change it up.
Yeah.
It's natural to change it up because we get excited about the new stuff going on out there, so we want to feature it and put it out there.
So what do you think is the biggest influencer that causes these music trends to change? Say the evolution, for example, right now, we're seeing the constant breakdown of different subgenres. What do you think causes that? What do you think causes one genre to break down to multiple subgenres and so forth, to the point where it really just doesn't make any sense anymore? And as a music journalist, you need some kind of term or buzzword to classify it. But we're seeing, you know, these musical genres just keep breaking down and dissolving. And what do you think causes that?
I think that, you know, people want, I think things that are new are buzzy, and people are always wanting to deliver something new. You have artists that want to create their own sound, and people get attracted to things that are new because they might have been listening to the same style for a while, and you know, dance music's tough like that, you know, when it comes to like it's exciting, but I understand what you're saying from the journalist's perspective. It's hard to kind of,
you need a word, but it's,
yeah. Well, people have been using the word EDM, you know, some people call that a genre of music, but some people, consider all the different dance music genres to be under the EDM umbrella. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it keeps things exciting, and you know, it's hard to, you know, it's moving so fast, right? It's hard to always cover. It's hard for myself even to keep up. That's why I started Night Owl Radio. Not only because I missed working with music as much as I used to, but, you know, it helps me be in tune and help us decide who we're going to book, you know. Yeah. A lot of music's coming from, through my desk. Right, you know, and it's just, you know, it's an exciting time. I think the music right now, by the way, is some of the best music we've had in a while.
Why is that? What makes the music right now, you know, the best music compared to last year's EDC, for example?
I think that all these subgenres, have created their own kind of scenes within the culture, and there's so much love for the certain sounds that when you go to these parties, the energy is like a 10. Yeah. And also, I'm a huge, you know, I got into this in the early 90s, and I say that because I'm hearing a lot of these sounds and samples and stuff from back in the day,
throwback
stuff, and that nothing makes me smile more than that. Yeah. So, you know, speaking from my perspective, I'm really liking what's happening in music right now.
So do you have any routines that you do on a daily basis that help you, you know, in your business, in your life, that you stick to, or that you would advise anyone to go about?
I mean, you know, I family right now. I've become a family man recently, and, you know, I have to make sure that I have some personal time. I never had that in my life. Insomniac, and this culture was everything, and I had nothing else. And now I make sure that I make some time for myself and my family, and that's been something that's pretty new and in recent years, and it's improved my life tremendously. So I would recommend that anyone in the industry, you know, do that as well.
Focus on the family. That's right. Last question for you, Pasquale. Do you have any advice out there for anyone looking to do what you have done to build a successful, highly successful music production company?
First, don't try doing it unless you're really passionate about it, because it's not easy. You know, you're the only way you're going to survive. You have to love doing this, because it's not an easy road. And nothing's going to be handed to you. You're going to have to work for every single thing that you make happen for yourself. And, you know, you don't need to start super big. You know, I didn't start big. People think that, you know, EDC was created overnight. My first event had 300 people at it. So don't be, afraid to start at that level and build it up from there. And there's a lot, you learn a lot, you know. And the stakes aren't as high when you're starting, you know, a little bit more humbly.
When your event has maybe 300 people as opposed to, you know, 300,000.
Correct. That's right.
All right, Pasquale, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you. Thanks for the time.
Thank you very much for listening, guys. You can find pictures, video, show notes from this interview and others at ryanstabile.com. That's ryanstabile.com. Thank you for listening. The next episode is going to be with Armin van Buuren. And stay safe out there, y'all.